As we're standing, if you don't have a Bible, need a Bible, we have them right up front because we study the Bible here. You can take those Bibles as a gift if you'd like. We'd like you to open up your Bibles this morning and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as we're looking at again to run the race or grace for the race or finishing your race, whatever title you like, you can choose, okay? But here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look over in verse 24. So it's the end of 1 Corinthians 9. And in verse 24, the Bible says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one that beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not become disqualified." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to be together. We thank you for your church, the body of Christ. We thank you for how you've been speaking to your church throughout the whole world. I've contacted people, Lord, through the last day, whether it's in France, Lord, or whether it's in Russia or wherever, Lord. You are at work and you're bringing your word forth. And so we thank you for that. Bless this study, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, when we're just looking at the small amount of scriptures, it's important probably just to focus in on a couple of things here. So there's three words. The words are run. Second word is train, T-R-A-I-N. And the third one is to win. Run, train, win. Those are the words that are located in here. Then we're going to find some general application. It's just stated in here. And then Paul speaks about a personal application to this message. You all set? So here we go. So again, when we're looking at this, run, train, and win. Verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." So this is the way that I like to look at this. Again, Paul is using an illustration. Jesus uses illustrations all the time. So when you're bringing forth truth, it's so important in a timely way to attach an illustration to that, and it helps us remember. So Paul has been speaking about what it is to live the Christian life. How do you look at situations? How do you consider others more important than yourself? How do you deal with behavior that's becoming ungodly and you want to stay the course? And then Paul is saying, listen, let me give you even a bigger illustration. Let's just consider the Christian life, a life that we enter a race. So as a believer, we enter the race. So I like to think of a stadium, and then the stadium seats all up there, and then you've got the track down below. You have a football field. We can't talk about football right now, but we're talking about the track. So the track's around the football field. You know, I've given this illustration before, but I was a pretty offensive to my mom and dad growing up, especially in high school. And I wanted to really hurt them my senior year in high school. They didn't do anything wrong, but I was just arrogant and disrespectful. And the way that I felt I can hurt them was this. I said to them, "Don't show up at my football games." That's what I said to them, because I know how much it meant to them to be supportive towards me. And we had a great team. And that was what I said, "Don't show up." And we come out on the football field, and when we came out on the field running as a team and going to circle around and do calisthenics in the beginning, warming up, we're running, and I'm looking in the bleachers, and I want them to be there. I want them there. And of course they were there. They never listened to what I had to say as an arrogant little punk, but they were there in the bleachers and being supportive. And when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about all of us. As believers, we want to come down from the stadium. We no longer want to be spectators. We want to be down on the track. And that's what Paul is saying. It's every runner is going to be on the track. You say, "Well, I'm a runner." But if you're in the bleachers, you're not a runner. If you're in the bleachers, you're a spectator. Runners have to be on the track. Are you with me? We have to be on the track. And Paul is calling us down to the track. If you would, just turn over to the right in your New Testament Bible to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, and in chapter 12 of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, these again are affirming cross-reference verses that helps us. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul is saying, look, we're in a race, and we need to get down to the track. And as a pastor, the work of the ministry is to train and equip the brothers and sisters to serve the Lord. So as a pastor, I am just sensing, come down to the track. We're on the track. We want you to get down to the track. And down on the track, there's a lane for everybody. Everybody has their own lane. You're not going to be in my lane, and I'm not going to be in your lane. I'm not competing against you. Christians, we're not competing against one another. Amen? Amen? Well, then who are we competing with? I'll give you a secret. Hey, you know who the biggest obstacle is in my life? It's me. I'm competing against me. That's where the challenge is at. And so we're going to come down to the track, and we're going to find the lane that God has for us. And we're going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, that finish line. So just remember that illustration. You think of an Olympic athlete who is trained, and you saw, if you were reading, you know, from 7 years old into his, I think he was 27 when he was running that race. So think of 20 years running. And it's just like, I was once in this spot at the Olympics, but I was injured just prior to. So I've had 4 more years. To show that I am that Olympic athlete. I am one deserving of a gold. And he took off. And he pulled his hamstring. Right? You saw it. And then he got up. And I love how, you know, kind of the staff is there to, you know, kind of maybe take him off the track. And there's some other videos I've seen where other attendants came down. And when his dad was holding him, I mean, his dad almost like whacked one of them. Get out of the way. This is my son, and we're going to finish this race. I love it. It's almost like Satan, get behind me. I'm going to take my child to the finish line. We have a Heavenly Father, and really, the Heavenly Father is the one that gets us across that finish line. The Heavenly Father uses you, though. The Heavenly Father uses men and women, boys and girls, to help one another get across the finish line. Our goal in life, when it's all said and done, and there's a memorial celebration for you, we're going to say, they finished the race. Yeah, but you remember when they did this and that? Hey, listen, all I know is that they're in heaven with Jesus. They finished the race. So we go back, and Paul is saying, look at my life. I want to run. I want to run. Now listen, I know that there's a lot of community races. And a lot of times in a community race, you have different caliber of people running. Sometimes you can have actually, you know, an Olympic type of individual running, and then others that are just going to take kind of a slow walk maybe for the race. Some will say, you know what, the reason I'm in this race? To get the t-shirt. I just want the t-shirt. I just wear the t-shirt. Doesn't matter who I see later on at Costco. They're going to think, wow, you're in that race? Yeah, I was in that race. I got the t-shirt. And I think sometimes Christians think all I want is a t-shirt. And I'm saying, look it, I want you in the race. We have to be in the race. We don't want to have a bunch of posers, okay? We want to be strong in the race. You say, Pastor, I want to be in the race. But to be in the race, you got to train. I said, right. As a matter of fact, Paul is talking about that. Notice In verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, and also if you look here in verse 26, I run thus, not with uncertainty, and I fight not as one who beats the air. So in this race of running, there is absolutely training taking place. They're not making this up. There are Olympic games happening at this time and other games that are taking place. It's a very big part of the Corinthian community and its culture. And this is what they live for. Things haven't changed too much, have they? But very strong. I mean, they would have boxing. They would, of course, have running. They would have spear. They probably didn't call it javelin, but spear throwing. Some things I read, they had chariot races. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable, thinking about what they had. But to train, for sure they had to be in training for 10 months before even showing up, and it's a very strict training. Hey, let's just stay for a second. Aren't we having the Summer Olympics this year for you? Aren't there Olympics this year, summer? 216, yes? Okay, all you're thinking about is the Seahawks. Get back here now. Come on. All right. Let's just say that the Olympic Committee a few years ago said to you that they thought that you could win. Kevin, I'm going to pick on you right now. I'm going to affirm you right now. Here we go. Let's just say that Kevin, the Olympic Committee have contacted Kevin. They says, we have seen what you can do in the 100-yard or 100-meter, and we believe that you can represent our nation and possibly get the goal. And we believe it. And he says, yeah, I'm in. So he's in because he says, my nation believes in me. I'm going to represent them. Immediately, there's going to be a change in his schedule. When he sleeps, what he does, what he eats. I mean, just things are radically going to change, right? I mean, they're going to have to change. He's going to be in training. And we're going to respect that, aren't we? I mean, and not only respect it, we say, come on. Are you sure you can eat that dessert right now? Come on. We get tough. But the Lord said, wait a minute. Why don't we have that same attitude? We're called ambassadors of a king here on earth, representing our king right now. And he's sending us forth. And he wants us to be men and women that are really, really contending earnestly for what he's called us to do. Let's just say, by the way, that we are all one team right here. We're one big team. And we have a game that we're going to be playing here pretty soon. The competition's out there on the field. But we're one big team. And we're in a huddle right now. We're in the huddle. And I'm going to say, you know, we are absolutely the underdogs according to everyone else. We're the underdogs as we go out there. But I'm going to say to you, I don't care what they say. I know we can win tonight. I know we can win. Someone is going to win tonight, and it can be us. Someone's going to win, and there's every reason we could win. There's every reason we could win. There's no reason we can't win. We're showing up, and we're here to play. We're going to play our heart out. Now, if anyone in the huddle said to me, nah, I don't think we're going to win, I'm going to say, guess what? Take a seat. Because I don't want you to be a part of what we're going to do right now. We're going to go out and we're going to believe that we can win. And the rest is in God's hands. We're going to go out and take the field and say, you know what? We're going to give it our all. We are going to give it our all. You with me? And when we're looking at our Christian faith and Paul's bringing this all in together, Paul believes. Paul believes that God's going to do great things. He believes it. He is the underdog for Christians. Without Christ, we are the underdogs. In this world, we're the underdogs in many senses. But listen, we don't listen to the world. We listen to the Word. We listen to what God has to say and the Spirit of God has to say. And we take the field every day thinking, God, you want to do abundantly beyond anything I can ask or think or pray. And I don't have a little faith, but you're going to do so much more. Right? I'm in. But to be in, and Paul says, run in such a way that you may obtain it or that you would win. So we're going to run, we're going to train, And we're going to win. I want you to know that when Paul speaks about this, and he's giving a general illustration here, he's saying to these athletes, and he's in this group here, these athletes, he knows what's going on. And they're going to win like a laurel wreath on their head for all the work they did and for all the competition. They're going to walk away with this handmade laurel wreath on their head as their prize. And Paul says, it's just going to perish and just depart. He says, what we win from our Lord is an imperishable crown. Well, you say, well, that's different today. I mean, we get gold medals. They do. But let me just say for a second, what about if in my prime, it hasn't come yet. Anyways, let's just say that I won a gold medal. And that gold medal probably be in our house right now, probably like in this little velvet box, open it up, and it's, you know, there it is. And I show it to my grandkids. Wow, Papa, they hold it. That's good. And then they're like not too impressed too much after that. So come on, Papa. It's my medal. It's a gold medal, United States. Yeah, but that record, Papa, has been broken like 10 times since then. I mean, you know, that's a slow record. I mean, how'd you get that? I'm saying, listen, we all have an expiration date, okay? And if all you want to get is what the world has to offer is your trophy, you're going to feel just like you never really made it. So what do we have here? We have what's called an imperishable crown. Here's how I think. I believe that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. I believe he was crucified on a cross. I believe he was nailed to a cross. Do you believe that? I believe that he was buried in a tomb. I believe that he rose again from the dead. And I believe that he is alive today and he's at the right hand of God in heaven. Do you believe that? I believe that Jesus Christ has the evidence still that he died on the cross. I believe he has that evidence still. Do you believe that? Yeah. I believe that. Now listen. I need motivation to stay with it. So Pastor, great. Run the race. Okay, I'm on that. Want to win? Yeah. But that endurance, that perseverance, yes. So what keeps you pressing forward? What keeps you pressing forward? Because there is this person, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior and Redeemer of our souls, who has nailed pierced hands, who is at the right hand of the Father. And I have an appointed meeting with him in the future. And so do you, don't you? We don't know the time, but we have an appointment with him. Do you agree? Stay with me. And when he sees you, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He will have nail-pierced hands. And those nail-pierced hands are going to give you a crown. Those nail-pierced hands he's going to give you a crown for serving him, for loving him, for staying in the race, for finishing strong, for telling other people about him, for shepherding his people, for overcoming the temptations that have come. The Bible speaks about four or five different crowns that are given for us. And those nailed, pierced hands are the ones that are going to give you that. Do you follow me? That ministers to me today. That helps me today when I realize that there is an appointed time in the future with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who died for me, and the way he's going to greet me and the evidence of that and what he's going to bestow upon me and whatever we get from him. We're not going to parade around heaven showing each other our crowns like we would do on earth. Whatever he gives us, we just return to him in worship. Whatever he acknowledges, whatever he shows us, whatever crown, it's to worship him. So we need to get up and we need to get back in the race and we need to look at the finish line, and it has to be in sight for us. And you have to realize that your life actually makes a difference today. Your life makes a difference today. It makes a difference right now. Now, when we're looking at this, there's a couple of other things that we have to look at in a very serious way. Because what Paul is saying here, there is some personal concern that he has. Notice in verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul realizes, well, wait a minute. There's a possibility that I can become disqualified in this race. Listen, he's not speaking about losing salvation. That's not the issue here at all. He's not speaking about that at all. But he's speaking about what we will do being disqualified, the crowns, the rewards that the Lord has for us. He's very concerned about that. And he realizes this, the significance of this. And he says, I'm going to discipline my body. So when you look here and see verse 26, "I run thus, not with uncertainty." So if you said to me today, hey, let's go on a jog together, I'm going to say, where are we going to go? How far are we going to go? What's the pace going to be? In other words, well, can't you just relax and go on this run together? No, not really. I mean, there has to be, what's the purpose? It's just not like this relaxed thing. I mean, there's something more to it. Some of you are nodding, and it's true. It's just like there's a purpose to this. And Paul says, listen, regarding an athlete, you just don't randomly show up. You've got something in mind. There's not a sense of, there is no uncertainty. There's certainty. This is what has to be accomplished today. This is what I need to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I get to do. So when you enter the race, he says, guess what? As an athlete, as a follower of Jesus, it's not like, okay, the Bible, the pastor encouraged us on Sunday, we should read the Bible more. Stop. Right hand or left hand? Right hand. Stop. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Right there. See the Lord speaking to me. I think that's uncertainty, okay? I think something of greater certainty the Lord is looking from our lives. There's a sense of a purpose. My wife and I, we get a real wonderful blessing. We've been looking forward to this for a number of years. But we're going to actually leave on Tuesday for a two-week vacation. Can you imagine that? We've got great people in place here serving. And yeah. And as a matter of fact, even in your bulletin, you see we got our leadership team there. And they love phone calls from you, especially like 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. They're just excited about that. So excited about that. That's why we have their numbers there. But I'll tell you, I mean, we are excited to be away and to enjoy our time together. We're going to be staying with her brother who lives in Maui, so that's a good thing, right? You like it? But for me, I'm excited about just, because I've been working hard to get a lot of things out of the way, but just to read the Gospels and just to know Jesus from the Gospels. You say, well, you know him already. You've been following for 30-some years. You know something? I'm longing to just read about Jesus in the Gospels. That's what I'm looking forward to doing. You know, it's part of the time, right? Looking forward to that. There's a sense of purposefulness in our lives. There's not an assignment or anything like that. They're just things before we go. We're talking about how can God strengthen us? Where are you at? What is it that you want to do? And there's a sense of purposefulness that he's saying to us, not uncertainty. And then he's saying the other thing is, he's not as a boxer, he's using Olympic things, so he's not just shadow boxing. He's not doing that. He's contending in the ring with somebody. And this idea of the illustration that he's giving to us about this, I fight thus, not as one who beats the air, but he's landing punches, and you're contending with reality. And he's saying, look, I can be disqualified, and I do not want to be disqualified, and it concerns me. And not to be disqualified means I need to, in a sense, have a sense of godly oversight, the empowerment of the Spirit of God, the working of the Spirit of God within my life. later on, we're going to learn about the spiritual gifts as we're going through 1 Corinthians. But the application here is that understanding. I'm not going to run without purpose. I'm not going to live the Christian life without purpose. There's purpose from God. Amen? There's purpose. And I'm not going to fight as though I'm shadow boxing. I'm contending. And any believer, we know that we contend for the faith. We know we fight spiritual battles. We know we're in the midst of it. And we need the help of God in all of these areas. How many of you are familiar with Eric Little? Right? Chariots of Fire. Does that help out? How many of you totally not aware of that at all? It's okay. It's okay. And the rest aren't telling the truth. Okay, here we go. In Scotland to this day, Eric Little would be considered as the main athlete of their nation today. But I believe it was in about the 1924 Olympics in Paris, right about that time. He was about 22 years old. But his parents were missionaries in China, and he had gone to school and in England and up in the area there. He'd been at Oxford. He was an athlete. He played rugby, but he also ran. And as he was running, they noticed he's got it. He's got it as a runner. And they saw, as a nation, he could represent us. His race was the 800 meters, so two laps. I mean, actually, his race was the 400 meter, one lap. That was his race. Listen now. He made it to the Olympics. It's set. He is going to run the 400 meter. He has a possibility of an Olympic record. But the date of that race is on Sunday. And as a committed person to Christ, remember we studied last week about the conscience? His conscience would say, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's the Lord's day. I can't run. And a great stirring took place and great opposition against him. Even today, there's people that have this dialogue, and I say, be quiet. That's his conscience. He can't. That's just him. Be gracious. So they said, then you'll run the 800 meter on another day, two laps. That's not his race. And if any of you as athletes know, you know once you have your race, that's your race. And to do something else, that's a long shot in the Olympics. Prior to coming to the track, there was somebody that was massaging his muscles and helping him out, getting prepared to go. They handed him a little bit of a note. He kept that note. He never opened that note up until he got down on the track. When he's on the track, he opened the note up, and the note says, God honors those who honor him. He ran this 800 meter. He ran it, and he came in first place, and I believe it was a world record at the same time. Unbelievable. Later on, they said, years later, how did you do this? You weren't supposed to do this. How did you do this? He goes, that first lap, that first 400 meters, you know how you're supposed to pace yourself? He said, everything that I had, I determined I'm giving everything I have for that first 400 meters. And then what? Well, I gave everything I had left, and I called out to God for everything he had. And I finished. Great story, right? But listen, there's something you may not know about Eric Little. See, after the Olympics and after winning, he went to China to be a missionary. He served in China as a missionary. You know how he died? He died in a concentration camp as a missionary for Jesus. And this information was only recently released, at least in my study. And it said that there was a negotiation taking place at that time with Churchill and some others for prisoner swap, prisoner exchange. And he had the green light to go. And he let a pregnant woman go, and he stayed. And he died there. What I'm saying is, this is the guy. It's like, I want to be that guy. That guy, he ran the race. He stood for God. He trained hard. Yes, he won. But whatever he received, it meant nothing to him. Because God had another race for me to run. I'm going to go to China and I'm going to run that race. I'm going to be there. I'm going to bring the gospel and I'm going to serve those people there. And then there was malnutrition and all other things, and even possibly a brain tumor. Just the deterioration of his body. He dies in his 40s. And at the very end of his life, it says, if I can find this little piece through the fog, his last words, it says, Little's last words were, "It's complete surrender," in reference to how he had given his life to God. And when he left the train in Scotland to head to China, he put the window down and he said, "Christ for the world, for the world needs Christ." It's amazing, isn't it? We have brothers and sisters in this fellowship here that live that way. All of a sudden, you start to get it. You start to realize that, you know something? No matter what God has given to me, your talent, your skills, the blessing and the giftedness, it's not for me to become great. It's for God to become great. It's for him to become great through your life. And what we do in serving him, we realize that there's a finish line. And I'm actually closer to the finish line than most that are in here. Just have to do the math real quick, all right? So I'm close to that finish line. Those hands, the medal, the gold, the crown, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to us. We're going to look in his eyes. He has words that express your faithfulness to him on earth. It's important to me just to read this. Just to understand this and to realize what God has given to us. Now, probably one little thing here before we conclude in prayer. I like technology probably more than a lot of you know. I mean, just with devices, and I use them for tools, and I don't think many selfies at all. Other things I do with my time, but I use the technology. I try to communicate on a daily basis with as many people as I can about God. Right? You guys follow, you know that. And there's apps for everything, right? Just find an app for that. Are you following me? Now listen. Listen. There's no app for holiness. There's none. There's none. And many times we wish there was. I can just push that and now I can be that vessel of honor for Jesus. I just want that app because it doesn't exist. That work of holiness, he's called us to be holy as I'm holy. And that work of holiness is a sense of being separated for God's purposes for our lives. And that takes place by dying to ourself and saying, God, it's not me, it's you in me. It's beginning to say no as a trained athlete. A trained athlete is going to start to say no to a lot of things. They could say yes to it if they wanted to, but they're looking at the prize. They're looking what's ahead, and they're realizing I've got one opportunity to do this. And if I'm going to do this and do it right, then I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm going to have to say no to some things, yes to some other things. I want to be that representative for Christ. And friends, as time moves on, and if you're aware of what's going on in the world, if you're aware of the spiritual opposition and things pressing in upon us, if we are not training ourselves spiritually, we're just going to be wiped out. I mean, it's just going to take us by storm. But as we're being strengthened by God in the work of the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray for the concluding prayer here. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful as a fellowship to be together this morning, God. We thank you for your word. And thank you, God, that we have so many representatives. We gave a few illustrations, certainly. But, Lord, I thank you for our body and for our fellowship and the work that's going on here. And I pray this morning that as we look at our lives, just to leave here and just let all of this evaporate would be a mistake. And so, Father, I pray, I personally want to be more like you. I want to make changes in my life as your Spirit leads. We saw last week the freedom, the liberty, but it's the Spirit of God working within all of our lives. And I pray, God, for that Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to lead us in ways to be separated from world and worldliness, and to be so fruitful and so spiritually minded that we follow your leading and we're used by you. And God, our desire is that the world would come to know you. And there's nobody that you died for the whole world. And we pray for the opportunity as Paul to bring the gospel as we can. But Lord, have us examine our lives today, this week. Am I in the bleachers or am I on the track? Am I in my own lane? Am I comparing myself to other people or am I looking to Jesus? Do I have a program, a sense of training? How are you training me, Lord? I need to be trained to hear your voice. I need to be trained to know your word and who you are. Train me, Lord. Teach me. And God, I pray for each and every one of us. If we're not running to win, then what's the purpose? We are running to win. You did everything for us, but we are representing you. We are representing not this nation. We're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Heaven. We're representing him on earth. Therefore, everything we do, we must do diligently as unto the Lord. He is not interested in our token mediocrity. He is interested in men and women who are sold out and live a life that really represents they are disciples of Jesus. So we thank you and bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.